printed, so there will be no choir practice on March the 20th or the 27th. I think the choir's going on spring break. I'm not sure, though. Kayla?
I do have something green today. The Latin booklet.
You got to speak into this.
All right, me too. My voice carries, but this is better. If you didn't get your Latin booklets yet, be sure and pick one up. They're at the back of the church. Pick one up if you want to for someone else. We like to use this as an outreach from our church. I carry one in my car, just an extra one, if I happen to see somebody that I think would be helpful, to give them an insight into the people's testimonies from this church. Then I hand it out to whoever comes along. What I really wanted to talk about, though, this morning is the garage sale that's coming up in a week. The setup for it will start a week from tomorrow. There are three things that this church can help do. This goes for camp, the camp proceeds, and I'd like to involve everybody, and there's three ways that you can get involved. One is to bring items in, so make sure you get your stuff cleaned out, bring items in so that we have something to offer the people that come to buy. Volunteer to help. It's a five-day project. 3 days we'll set up, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 9 till 5, and you can bring your stuff in during that time. And then Thursday and Friday is the sale from 8 to 6 each day. Takes a lot of people. We need a lot of people to come and help. We will be asking the kids, but it would be great if you would give me a call or catch me and say that your kids are going to be able to help. It is spring break, so if you want something for your kids to do, they love to help usually, and we would be happy to have them help us.
So that's next week.
Yes, next week. Next Monday.
Right. And the third thing you can do is we're going to have a bake sale this year, and so you can make something for the bake sale. Suzanne was running around getting people to sign up. Bring your stuff in on Thursday morning, or if you forget, bring it in on Friday morning because we're having the sale for 2 days. It goes for camp, so if we have kids that are interested, last year we sent 6 kids to camp. The average cost of camp, if you go for a full week, is $400. We paid everything but the first 50 last year for a full week, and 25 or 30 for the, that's all the parents had to pay, and this church paid the rest. But it takes a lot to do that. And the garage sale is our biggest moneymaker for the camp. So we hope everybody will get out and support this for our church and get those kids to camp.
Thank you, Gayla. I have an announcement, too. The ushers this morning handed out the current needs for the rescue mission in town. We are a partner, our church, which is all of us, is a partner in the rescue mission. We donate $100 a month to keep for expenses for this facility. They also need... there's food items they need, there's non-food items they need, and they also have a list of, please don't bring any more, we've got lots. So if you'll just take a minute, look at the list. I have a couple of laundry baskets set out here, and anytime you think you have an extra something, please bring it in and put it in there. I will see that it will get to the rescue mission. Any questions? I printed their phone number and information on the back. And so I hope that we have lots of donations for our rescue mission. Thank you.
While she's looking.
I think Pastor has something, an announcement.
I was going to say, while you're looking, I just have a couple things. Yesterday, Jim and I finished leading the lay servant class and the basic course, and we had two from our church, and I'm looking around to see if they're here. Beth Mavis and Monica Douche finished the basic course yesterday for lay servants. So, Beth's in the back. I know I saw you. It's like, so congratulations on that, and we are thrilled to have a couple more. Absolutely. The Deckerville Area Community Choir is presenting Paid in Full, The Life of Christ. That is going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Different times we will have a poster up. We will get it in the bulletin, but know that that is coming so that you can join us, and that will be at McGregor United Methodist Church.
Do we have any birthdays today? Or this? Oh, we have one. Wednesday birthdays. Very good. A lot of candles combined together on the cake. Wonderful. Anybody else joining? Kevin. Tomorrow. And again, lots of candles on the cake. Let's join these three, wishing them a happy birthday. Anniversaries. Any anniversaries?
Today?
Al has an anniversary. Just Al? Well, let's sing happy birthday to Al.
Anniversary.
I
was like, we just did.
Well, he probably has a birthday too, but we'll just sing happy anniversary to Al.
I was confused for a moment.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
And congratulations to Tammy, too. Just another reminder that the garage sale is next week, not this coming Thursday and Friday, the sale. We will be taking donations next Monday, the beginning of Monday, so clean out those closets.
I think we're ready to worship.
I think we are, too.
And let's, I love this song.
Let's start with Pastor Sue's favorite song, We Are Marching, number 2235.
Hey,
please stand.
Let's get excited. So Dan told me no more dancing in church though this morning.
Favorite song is I Will Call Upon the Lord, number 2002.
We'll call upon the Lord, who is worthy to
in the call to worship. Oh God, my Savior, you have been my help. Don't leave me. Don't abandon me. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do, and lead me along the safe path. Praise be to the Lord God, who is with us always. Amen. Please join us in hymn number 2236, Gather Us In.
You may be seated, and I'm going to invite children to come up for a message with me this morning. Come on up. We don't have as many this morning, do we? Come on in. It's good to see the ones that are here. Lots. Oh, here they are. I was thinking I saw a lot in the preschool room. Come on down. Oh, thank you, guys. We're so glad the children are here. Look at all of you. Wow. I have a little song, but I've kind of been straining my voice already this morning, so let's see if I can sing this. Have any of you heard of the Five Little Ducks? Oh, yeah, some of you? Oh, boy, now the pressure's on that I'm really seeing this right. I have to think a second. All right, I had this down before I started church, and the pressure's on. When I say Mother Duck said, you have to say quack, 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 quack 4 times. Can you guys do that? Sure, I know you can do that. So I may end up just reading this if I don't get the tune right. 5 little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother Duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only 4 little ducks came back. Yeah, I think I'm just going to read this. 4 little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother Duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only 3 little ducks came back. 3 little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother Duck said, but only 2 little ducks came back. 2 little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother Duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only 1 little duck came back. 1 little duck went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother Duck said, but none of the 5 little ducks came back. Sad Mother Duck went out one day over the hill and far away. The sad Mother Duck said, quack, 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 quack. And all of the 5 little ducks came back. Oh, she found all 5. You can actually Google that on your computers, your mom and dad, and you can hear the song and you can see the ducks. It's really, really cute. So why did I share 5 little ducks with you? You know? No. You don't know either? I'm not sure I know either. Don't run away from your family. That's right. That is really precious. You've got it. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus. We always like to talk about Jesus, don't we? We like to talk about Jesus. And there were some people that wanted to hurt Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And you know what they told him? Run. Go away. Quick. Run away. What they said? Run away. Because someone was going to try to kill him. But did Jesus run away, do you think? No, Jesus didn't run away, and neither should you. You know, sometimes when we have times of struggles, we shouldn't run away from our parents or our friends. You know, we need each other, right? We need to stay in love, and they love you, and of course, Jesus loves you. So I want you to know that if times get tough and you get mad, maybe you get mad at mom and dad, or maybe you get mad at your brother or sister, or maybe you get mad at Pastor Sue. We don't want you running away, okay? All right? Amen. That's right. Let's don't run away. Yes? That's right. Don't run away from like a babysitter or somebody else that's watching you. Good point. Very good. And don't let your cat run away. That's right. They're really cute. They are cute. And don't let your dog run away either. Right? Uh-oh, that just opened a can of worms. Aw, it's really sad when cats run away, isn't it? So we are going to pray so that we can keep doing worship. Is that okay? Can you follow me? You pray with me? Dear God, thank you for watching out for me and help me that I don't run away when times are hard. And watch over our cats and our dogs and all our pets. God said, thank you. Amen. All right. Thank you. Here's your bulletins. Can you pass out some that way? You guys pass out some. There you go. Pass out some. She's got your bulletin right there. All right. Make sure everybody has a bulletin as much as I hope there's enough. Right there. Right there. Right there. Okay. Good deal. Thank you. Anybody want a children's bulletin? I have one extra. So the choir's going to sing, but I need to take a swig of water. And turn my mic off.
While the choir is going down, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 27 to read along with Suzanne, our Old Testament reading.
Triumphant Song of Confidence of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of all my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp me, against my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek forever, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O Lord, of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
That we live.
All right, we'll try this again. We're going to go to our Lord. And we have to remember those that we lifted this morning and those that are quiet in our hearts. Let us pray. Yes, Jesus. You walk the lonesome valley. And now we need to walk that valley as well. Sometimes rejoicing with incredible joy and delight in our lives. And sometimes with trials and temptations and heartaches. But nonetheless, Lord, we know that you are traveling with us. You went before us, you walk with us, and you walk ahead of us, now and forever. And for that, we are so grateful. Lord, we're grateful for creation that you made and the day of worship that we can gather together. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we may be for you your children, that will be pleasing that will follow you, being faithful and obedient. That we won't run away, but that our hearts are here for you and we will reach out to those who are hurting. We pray in this time of the United Methodist Church, of dissension that falls upon us, that we will stand for justice and compassion, that we will be kind and considerate, that we will love one another. And Lord, for those who are hurting, whether it's physical, mentally, emotional, we ask, Lord, that you bathe them with your peace and healing, the grace that comes abundantly from you, that they may receive. And that you guide and lead doctors, give them wisdom and discernment for steps that need to be taken for those who are physically ill, facing surgery, procedures, and those recuperating. Lord, we pray for our own discernment in our church and the direction you have us to go, that we can see the vision and understand our mission to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ, that we too will know that you are guiding and leading us as we seek your will to be done. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that taught us together and said, Our Father. Oren and I have been back and forth on when Oren might be here and be able to share with us on his trip to Puerto Rico. So even though it's not in the bulletin, I'm inviting Oren to come and give us a few minutes of your trip. We may have an extended time later with pictures, but thank you, Oren.
Hi. Can you hear me? This has been a cat and mouse game here, back and forth. I'm either had things go on in my life or something happened in the last since January, so I wasn't able to come here and share with you my mission back in January. For those of you who don't know me, a member of the United Methodist Church here, and we raised our family here, and now our three kids are in college, and my wonderful wife out there, she keeps me on the straight and narrow. So, but the main thing is what I'm getting at here, and it kind of struck me today when we sung that song, Gather In. And part of that song that said, enter into the song. And I thought about that while I was in a pew there. And what to me that meant was, as United Methodists, as Christians, how do we take our talents and our gifts and enter into the song? You know, we're all talented and able people. It's just, some of us are a little more afraid of the unknown to step outside of your comfort zone and do something that's bigger than yourself. And for me, I've been on mission before, but this one kind of struck a chord. I was at the district conference, and it's a new district, as you know, the East Winds District. And I was there as representing the church here. And that was just this past year. And a gentleman who I know, Wayne Bank, stepped up, and our district superintendent, John Hines, and he talked about what we can do as Christians in United Methodist, especially the new formed East District, to really make an impact beyond our church. What can we do outside of the area here? So they found it in their hearts to put together a mission to Puerto Rico. And
I heard that in the audience there, and I've been thinking about this a long time. And I thought, you know, I'm very blessed. I have three kids in college, beautiful wife. You know, everything's, you know, not without struggles, but what can I do with my talents at 52 years old to help other people? And God just hit me right there in the spot. And I remember Julie and I were in the parking lot, and Wayne left the building, and I drove up to him. I said, "Put me on the list." So it was right then and there I knew I was going to do this. I had no idea what I was getting into. It was kind of interesting. But, you know, all of a sudden we got our plane tickets, wrote them the check, you know, and that's another thing. We're not all wealthy people, but part of giving is giving something that hurts. I mean, you know, I could have easily paid a college tuition or done something else with that money, but I felt that that was something I'm blessed with and that I needed to do something better with that. So that weighed on me as well. So didn't even think twice, did that, got the plane tickets. I thought, oh, wow, who am I even going with, you know? And where am I going in Puerto Rico? I've never been to Puerto Rico. I mean, I know Maria, that, you know, catastrophic hurricane hit there and devastated the island, you know, and the people. But I'm thinking, well, God gave me some gifts and some talents. I can lift stuff, hammer, saw, do whatever I need to do, you know. So fast forward, we got together as a group. I met six other gentlemen. And the group was made, and it was quite the irony of the whole thing is everyone that's on the group, we really didn't know each other, just came together. I mean, they were all from all over, but we had one thing in common: we had God in our hearts, and we had a goal in mind, and with that, we were already connected, and that part was really cool. So. Fast forward, we get on a plane, we do a layover, we get to Old San Juan, we land in Old San Juan, and it's American territory, so American exchange of money is the same, however, it's Spanish-speaking. And I felt like the age group was anywhere from 65, and there was one guy that was like in his mid-30s. So I'm kind of the young guy in the pack here, and I'm thinking, oh, here I go. And knowing that we've been to Mexico before and other places, I'm thinking, okay, I got to be the father here. Don't drink the water. Don't do this. We got to stay healthy, you know. And I remember being in a place that a guy orders a soda, and I says, oh, man, it has ice in it. Don't drink that. And he's like, and this big guy, he's smart, he's like going, oh, okay, I'm not going to get sick, you know. So, but anyway, fast forwarding, it was a great experience. We had two interpreters. Barbara and Andy, and the two interpreters kept us on a straight and narrow. They were Methodists as well, and we rented two cars, and we had to drive, which I found was very interesting. San Juan County roads are great. you get off the beaten path, and we're literally on 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 foot elevation change, and the road is one lane. It's maybe 11 feet wide, no guardrails. So you have two lanes of cars going on what we would have, one lane. It's quite interesting. You use a horn a lot around corners and stop and turn in, and we're like, the whole time, you know. We're going to get there. And some of the places had very colorful names where we went. And I'm thinking, why do they call it the Valley of the Dead, you know? And I'm thinking, when we got to the top of that mountain, I knew exactly why 15 people only lived up there. It was interesting. So, but we were able to reach out and touch seven people's lives or seven different homes. And they were a little bit behind. We went through an organization through our church here, United Methodist Church, but it's based out of New York, and UMCOR, and combined with FEMA. And they literally are a well-oiled machine where they have everything set up. And people with need come to them, and they distinguish what their needs are, what they have. And their homes are devastated. I mean, when I mean a home, it's a metal roof, old old side and a door. There's no insulation, no windows in these homes. I mean, they're just jealousy aluminum windows, valances that open, and a little light aluminum door you could kick in. That's your house, and it's usually on the side of a mountain. And oh, by the way, you have chickens underneath that you cultivate the eggs and eat the chicken. I mean, it's that. That's their way of life. Very modest, but they're happy. And I found they're very relational people. They're not of substance. They're very relational. So when you get there, it kind of resets who we are, or who I was, as a person of substance. You always have to be successful. You got to have things. You got to do this and that. There, it's just like, oh, we have all day. You know, so what? We have some chicken wire and some, you know, a little shim or a little piece of wood. You know, we'll make this work, you know. And that's exactly what they do, you know. But they're very relational. They'll take time out of their day to talk to you. They'll give literally their shirt off their back to you. I remember one family, all they had is eggs, and she made us hard-boiled eggs, and we had some coffee and hard-boiled eggs, and that's what we ate. So, you know, it's just, it puts things in perspective, what's out there. But that's what makes them happy. They don't need steak and potatoes. They don't need all of that stuff. That's what makes them happy. We stayed at a camp there by the United Methodist, which was very interesting. We ran out of water a couple different times. So when you get back, you are just literally covered in concrete dust and everything else. So we drove a half an hour back into town to the church, and the church opened up their facilities, which they had a shower. So we all waited in line at night at 8 o'clock and took a shower. And then you go back, and I found rice, beans, and chicken. That's what you eat when you're there. There's nothing else. There's rice, beans, and chicken. But it was good, and we were thankful to have that. The day started out, it was a long day, but we did, like I said, we did work on 7 different homes and got 7 different families up and going that were devastated. No roofs. They were living in homes that literally had, they didn't even have a roof on there over their head. They didn't even have plumbing, you know. And it wasn't because they weren't physically able to do it. They just didn't have the resources to do it or pull it off. So that was very humbling to go through it and make, you know, make their environment better and just give them the basics back. So in this situation there, what I found, though, after being there is the main thing is they're very relational people, but it was the psychology of what happened there. It wasn't the physical. It was the psychological part of it. They got hit by a storm that it's been generations talked about. And they're so devastated in their minds, they can't get past that. That they're like, well, here we are. This nasty storm took us off the face. It blew cattle, it blew people, it blew homes, it blew things in the ocean, and they were just gone. And to this day, they're like trying to heal and get back, you know, to a norm. So that's their biggest challenge. And we have the abilities and gifts as Christ's children to go out there and help people like that and say, you know, we can help you. We can extend a hand. And it's not always about bricks and mortar, but it's this right here. And they're very appreciative. We attended church there, and it was great, you know, even though it was in Spanish speaking, we understood what they were saying, and we went through the hymns with them, and they, you know, it was great. But I would do it again in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even think twice about not going. And but I just want to impress upon any of you that there's 100 some people here, and how much that would make a difference in somebody's life to give your time to someone else. And that part was huge. So like the song said, gather in, you know, enter in the song. He's waiting for you. So with that said, I'm going to have pictures and stuff, but I didn't want to bore you with that right now. But it is a beautiful country. So thank you.
Thank you. So now we're going to the gospel lesson of Luke, and I invite you to turn in your scriptures to Luke 13. I'll read 31 to 35. Jesus is grieving over Jerusalem. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replies, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you to desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem, but he wasn't there yet. When they speak of Herod wants to kill you, I saw in a couple different commentaries, whether it was Herod Antipas or Herod Agrippa. Some say it was Herod, the son of Herod the Great. But it was Herod who wanted to kill Jesus. But ironically, the Pharisees many times were after Jesus for all he was doing, for his healing, for taking demons out. Yet in this particular four verses of Scripture, the Pharisees are actually warning Jesus to go run away, as we said with the little kids, go run away. Go someplace else so that Herod doesn't kill you. Have they recognized that Jesus is the Messiah? Is that why they were saying go? Because a lot of prophets had come through the area where Jesus was at that particular time, and many of the prophets had been killed. But as Jesus said, no prophet should be killed outside of Jerusalem. So I know that this isn't going to happen because God has a plan. So I looked at this passage and thought about, God, what are you trying to say for us in this passage today? Part of that, I believe, is that Jesus is the Christ. He is not just a prophet. He was a prophet for many. But he's more than that. He is our Lord and Savior today. Secondly, that God has a plan for us, a plan to travel this road. And sometimes there may be threats on us. There may be trials and temptations we may suffer in this journey. It is not made perfect just because you are a Christian. Because some people think that just because you're Christian, nothing's ever going to happen to you that's bad. Wrong. In fact, it's almost the opposite. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will suffer for Jesus. That is scriptural. Now, did you notice that Jesus said, "I'm still going to heal. I'm still going to do the work that I have been led to do today and tomorrow. And the third day, it will be done." What is he referring to? Good Friday and Easter morning, when he will continue to do the work right up until the time he's crucified, but he will overrule death, and he will resurrect on the third day and continue to be with us for the rest of our lives as Christians in eternal life as we go home to him. I thought it was interesting when it said, "I tell you, you will not see me again until the day that they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you know what day that is? That we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm Sunday. You got it. Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes down from Mount Olives into the city, and before he goes into the city, he stops at a place and he weeps. Jesus wept for his people. And so a part of me as we look at this scripture is to know that Jesus continues to weep for his people today. For you and I. For all the hard that is going, the hard lives that are going on, the violence and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the tornadoes that have occurred even this week in Michigan, not far from where we were this week, that devastated many homes. World isn't perfect. There is a lot of damage, and there is a lot of death, and there is also hope. And Jesus gives us this hope in this particular scripture this morning to say, but the third day, it will be done. The third day. But this is only the second day of Lent, I ask, Lord, as we're doing this scripture, yet you're also referring to Palm Sunday and you're referring to Easter. That is because we are taking that trip to Jerusalem over these next weeks. We are on that journey heading towards the week of a Passion, Holy Week, to know that at the end of that week, we have joy. Did you guys all notice the cross outside today? We have a huge cross out here draped in purple for the passion of Jesus, for his royalty, to represent and show the community we remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. But at this particular scripture, at this particular point, it wasn't his time. There's no way that he needed to run because Jesus wasn't going to die at that particular time, because God has a plan. And so when I asked God, what do you want me to say to your people here on this day according to this scripture? And he said to me, remind them that I am Lord, their Savior. He is the Messiah, not just a prophet. And two, God has a plan for you. And in the meantime, we may not know what that plan is. We surely don't know what it is for our United Methodist Church. And due to time, I would like to share with you, after our sermon, after we have the offering and the hymn, I'm going to ask you to sit back down, because I would like to share what occurred this week at the Board of Ordained Ministry. So bear with me. We are in a time such as this. But no, it's in God's hands, in God's timing, and in his plan, and Jesus is with us. Amen. I invite our ushers to please come forward for our morning offering. And we thank Paula for stepping in, because Tina needed to go. No pressure, Paula. None whatsoever. We love you. Ushers, just come down. She'll play. Father God, we give you these gifts and ask that you bless them, that they may go towards your kingdom here on earth, that others may know you, follow you, and be faithful unto you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let us have a seat and thank Paula for stepping in for the last. What a blessing you are. Thank you. This will not take long. I just want you to know that people have been asking me, how was your week? My week went well. We were never done before 9 o'clock at night. Some nights it went till 9:30, and it was long and it was stretchless, but it was good. And the Lord's presence was in there. One of the things that we tackled was General Conference, and we wanted to make a statement. We are a new conference that has come together. We met twice in the fall as a new board, and so we're still learning and getting our feet on the ground of who people are and what we are, and then after General Conference, who we are and what we will continue to do. Our job, our responsibilities, is to interview people that are local pastors that come before us to become associate members and provisional. That means that they are working their way to deacons and elder orders, but it takes a 3-year process. So they come before us to see if they are ready to do that and then have 3 years before they're ordained. And then we have a responsibility of those coming before us to become deacons and elders to be ordained. And so they have paperwork. We have strict guidelines. We are in teams. We are to read everybody's paperwork. We are to then in our small groups, we have just a few people that we really focus on and decide. Our discernment process is incredible. We have a list of how it's supposed to run. We pray for the person. We pray for general conference. Whatever the issue was that was before us, we had a time of questions. We had a time to be able to sit at tables and ask. We had a time that we would make statements, not questions. And then we would come to a decision. And that decision was a complete discernment. And all hearts had to be clear before we could make that. It wasn't just let's vote. We had to have all hearts clear on whoever it was or on the decision of General Conference that we would be in unison on this vote. Well, not everybody thinks alike. There's 45 of them.